Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. What would it be like to live and work on Mars? To find out, scientists simulate the experience of living in an isolated, Martian-like environment and doing science in spacesuits. Their experience and research will aid astronauts in a real Mars mission 30 years in the future. I spoke with Kim Binstead, who spent 100 days at the Flashline Mars Arctic Research Station in far northern Canada. She was the chief scientist on the mission. She said that in her experience, the most important part of a Mars mission is crew cooperation and happiness. But let's start with the basics. What did you eat?
We were working with food that was it had to have a shelf life of at least 1 year, which meant that it was things like powdered eggs and canned meat and TVP, which is textured vegetable protein. A lot of foods that are not necessarily what you think of as being delicious. But we carefully worked it out so that we would have, there was a social aspect to the food. So we would try to take these basic ingredients and then make them into something interesting. You know, we could make birthday cakes for people who are having birthdays. We could celebrate anything that happened in the world. And that really, I think, added to the social cohesion, that we sat down at dinner together every night and were able to celebrate when special occasions came along through the food.
All right. So I heard that you were the cook, or the main cook, for the whole mission. And do you have any kind of special recipes that you want to share?
I don't know if anyone would want to try any of these recipes at home, but I did do a TVP sweet and sour meat, quote-unquote, balls. So TVP meatballs. Textured vegetable protein is, as I say, vegetable protein that's made to look a little bit like meat. It, to be honest, it looks more like dog food, but when you add water and you add fat to it, it can pass for meat under certain circumstances. So I would take some of this TVP and I would mix it with egg and lard and make balls out of it and fry those and then cover them with teriyaki sauce and pineapples and some spices. And it actually tasted pretty good. It made for a pretty good part of a Chinese-themed meal with some fried rice and some sprouts. It was almost good.
Do you think that cooking on Mars would be similar to the experience?
I hope that cooking on Mars would be like our experience at F-Mars, because there's some parts of the exploration community that want to give astronauts just the kind of TV dinners that they're now eating on the space station. And while that's fine for zero gravity, where you don't have a lot of options for cooking, and it's fine for the short term, I think on a 3-year-long Mars mission, eating that kind of food day in, day out would be psychologically disastrous and probably not all that good for you either. There's no room for creativity. There's something very nice about looking at even a very limited set of ingredients and saying, okay, well, how am I going to make something special out of this?
What do you think the greatest accomplishments of the mission from your perspective were?
There are two sides to it. On the one hand, I think we proved that it is possible to conduct a season of field research under Mars exploration constraints and get a lot done. I mean, we had 22 different science projects. It's going to lead to somewhere between 12 and 15 journal papers. And that's a significant accomplishment. And we were doing that wearing spacesuits and with, you know, limited laboratory equipment and so on. So I think that shows that humans on Mars can get a lot done.
Do you think that it's possible for people to live in a stressful and very distant situation for 3 years without there being any kind of mental breakdown, for lack of a softer word?
I think it's absolutely possible for people to explore Mars without a major psychological or social incident. But you need to be prepared for that. And you prepare for these stresses by careful crew selection, by making the stressful parts of the mission as easy as possible, soften things where you can, give people safety valves when you can, and train people to talk to each other.
And what do you think the biggest challenge in an actual Mars mission will be?
The biggest challenge on an actual Mars mission, I think, is going to be protecting people en route from radiation, solar flares, and so on. There are engineering solutions to that, but it's vitally important to make them work because you need to make the journey safely in order to do good work once you get there.
And how long would the astronauts actually be on Mars?
So here's the classic opposition class mission. So that's a flight time of 150 days and a 550-day stay on the surface. So total mission time would be 910 days.
Just going back to your personal experience, I mean, moving back from the FMAR station to Hawaii must have been a huge transition. And how did you adjust to that from living in isolation in the cold, barren tundra to coming back to this tropical island?
The hardest transition for me, actually, was landing in Los Angeles. It was overwhelming. We were flying over the city as we were coming into land and looking at this sea of lights, and I realized that every block we were flying over, these thousands of blocks, every block was the size of Resolute, the small town that we used as our launching pad for the FMARS mission. And on each block, each of those houses probably had the same number of people as we had at the FMARS station, and we were flying over hundreds of thousands of these. And that sea of humanity was quite something to face after being alone with the same six other people for 4 months.
Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
That was Kim Binstead, chief scientist on the 2007 FMARS Long Duration Mission. And I'm Lindsay Patterson for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.